This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Welcome to the Military Times. My name is Mark Article, Mark Love. And our first article comes from Front Page Military Times, dated April 23rd, 2025. Hegseth changes Pentagon green room into impromptu makeup studio. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has altered a space behind the Pentagon briefing room to use as a makeup studio before media appearances. Defense officials confirm. The space has long been used as a green room for officials or guests briefing the media, including previous Pentagon spokespersons, a defense official said. Hegseth has not held a public briefing since entering office 3 months ago, but he regularly uses the space to record television hits, such as one that aired Monday on the conservative news program Fox and Friends, which he previously hosted. The renovations consisted of a director's chair, mirrors, and a countertop, other gathered from storage or made by in-house Pentagon employees to avoid extra costs, the official said. Tammy Rodabaugh, a public affairs aide and Hegseth's longtime producer, first directed the changes in the opening weeks of the secretary's time in office. Hegseth does his own makeup, according to the defense official. For this upgrade, we were deliberately conservative and opted for several less expensive on-hand material solutions that provide the secretary and other VIPs with the needed support and extra in space for on-camera press engagements, a Pentagon spokesperson said in a written statement. The renovations were first reported by CBS News. Before entering office, Hegseth was a media personality who spent years appearing on television and podcasts. His team has since styled him around his years of military service, including time in the Army and National Guard. Hegseth speaks often about the need to restore America's warrior ethos and publicly exercises with troops and other cabinet members. Pentagon employees are still tweaking the space, including installing new mirrors soon. On Tuesday, framed photos hung on a room's walls depicted Hegseth speaking in public or greeting visiting officials. In two of the photos was John Gilloyd, the secretary's former chief spokesperson, who has since argued the Pentagon is in full-blown meltdown after a slate of top officials were fired last week. Those photos were removed Tuesday. In our next article, nationwide doorstep delivery getting closer for commissary customers, dated April 23rd, 2025. Commissary officials are getting close to awarding a contract for the doorstep delivery of groceries, said John Hall, director of the Defense Commissary Agency. We need this. Our customers want and need this contract, Hall said during a meeting of American Logistics Association in Richmond, Virginia on Tuesday. I'm really excited about this. Hall did not provide a specific timeline for the broader rollout of the service, which is currently limited to select pilot locations. There are some hurdles left, he said. We're going to really work really hard to get over it. According to the contract solicitation documents, delivery service would be available to eligible customers living within a 20-mile radius of commissaries in the continental United States, Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. The solicitation requires the service to start initially at 70 locations, but gives the Defense Commissary Agency the ability to add any of the remaining 108 commissaries at any time. Commissary officials aren't considering doorstep delivery for overseas commissaries due to overseas regulatory constraints. There are about 3.4 million eligible households living within 20-mile radius of about 178 commissaries, which sell discount groceries as a benefit to active duty, guard, and reserve members, military retirees, Medal of Honor recipients, and their authorized family members. Veterans with any Department of Veterans Affairs documented service-connected disability rating also have commissary benefits. Officials launched a pilot program in 2022 for deliveries at 8 commissaries, including Scott Air Force Base, Illinois, Fort Bragg, South North Carolina, MacDill Air Force Base, Florida, Fort Belvoir, and Naval Station, Norfolk, Virginia, Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Washington, and Marine Corps Air Station Miramar and Naval Base San Diego in California. Delivery costs has been an issue in the service rollout. Officials are trying to keep delivery costs for customers as low as possible, Hall said. We want it comparable to what they would pay at a local grocery chain for delivery, he said. When the pilot first launched in 2022, most delivery fees hovered around $4 per order. Customers pay the fee in addition to the cost of groceries, the 5% commissary charge, and if desired, a tip for the driver. But those low delivery fees made it financially difficult for the two companies handling deliveries to cover operating costs like gas prices and driver's salaries. One of the companies, ChowChall, took over all the deliveries at 8 commissaries in March 2023 and was allowed to set prices to cover its costs. The cost depends on the miles driven, ranging from about $16 to about $30. ChowChall has delivered more than 20,000 commissary orders from the 8 pilot locations, according to Todd Waldemar, founder and CEO of ChowChall. Information is not yet available about whether the delivery fee will be subsidized in some way by the commissary system under the new contract. Customers using delivery service at the 8 pilot stores nearly 3 times as much per order as customers shopping in person at commissaries, according to Hall. The average shopping basket is about $185 for customers using delivery service, compared to the average basket of about $65 per trip for those shopping inside the stores. For those including the curbside pickup service available at all commissaries, the average order is about $120, according to Hall. Think about how much more benefit we can deliver to our customers, how much more we can combat food insecurity when we get this delivery contract in place, Hall said. In our next article, Fort McCoy commander suspended after Trump portrait flipped to wall, April 23, 2025. The U.S. Army has suspended a Wisconsin training base's first female commander after discovering portraits of President Donald Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had been flipped around to face the wall. The Army has posted an undated statement on Fort McCoy's website saying Colonel Sheila Baez Ramirez has been suspended as the base garrison's commander. The statement said the suspension isn't related to any misconduct but provided no other details, saying the matter was under review. The Department of Defense on April 14th posted photos on X showing portraits of Trump and Hegseth on the base's chain of command wall had been turned to face the wall, along with photos showing that they had been flipped back to face the corridor. Regarding the Fort McCoy chain of command wall controversy, we fixed it, the post read. Also, an investigation had begun to figure out exactly what happened. No one immediately returned email and voicemail messages the Associated Press left for Fort McCoy public affairs officials on Wednesday morning. Baez Ramirez assumed the role of garrison commander at Fort McCoy in July 2024 after serving as chief of the reserve program, U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. She was commissioned as a military intelligence officer through the Reserve Officer Training Corps in 1999. And holds a bachelor's degree in psychology, mental health from the University of Puerto Rico, and a master's in strategic studies from the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. She holds numerous citations and decorations, including the Defense Merit Service Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, and the Korean Defense Medal. She has served as Chief of Operations of the U.S. Army Reserve Command at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, Deputy Commander of the 501st Military Intelligence Brigade, and Deputy Commander of the Special United States Liaison Advisor Korea at Camp Humphreys in the Republic of Korea. Fort McCoy is a 93-square-mile training base in the far western Wisconsin countryside and has been in operation since 1909. And in our next article, search underway for missing Nimitz sailor, dated April 23, 2025. A sailor who disappeared during a scheduled port visit to Guam is still unaccounted for, according to local authorities and the U.S. Navy. Sailor Gabriel D. Holt, assigned to the aircraft carrier Nimitz, was last seen at 11:57 p.m. on April 18th between Hotel Nico and Gun Beach, the Guam Police Department said. On April 19th, Instagram post from the police department described Holt as 6 feet tall, 192 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. Last seen wearing a white tank top, green shorts, and gray shoes. Search and rescue efforts were underway for the sailor, according to Nimitz spokesperson Lieutenant Commander Tim Petrak. All this time, all available agencies are actively engaged to efforts to locate this missing sailor, Petrak said. The search is ongoing, and we are committed to fully cooperating with local authorities while search and rescue efforts continue. Anyone with information is urged to call 911 or the Guam's Police Department, Tumon Precinct Command at 671 649-6330. The Nimitz Carrier Strike Group, which includes the aircraft carrier Nimitz, Carrier Wing, Air Wing 17, and Destroyer Squadron 9, docked in Guam on April 18th, the same day Holt went missing. The aircraft carrier is currently on what's likely to be its final deployment before it's decommissioned in 2026. It left Guam on April 21st, according to the Navy. And in our next article, U.S. Navy warship on first deployment makes two drug busts in 72 hours. Dated April 22nd, 2025. Two alleged drug smuggling operations were brought to a swift halt this month by the Freedom-class littoral combat ship Minneapolis-St. Paul within a 72-hour span, resulting in a seizure of an estimated $12 million in illicit drugs during the ship's maiden deployment. The ship set sail on March 26 from its home port of Naval Station Mayport, Florida, and steamed for the Caribbean Sea and the U.S. 4th Air Fleet area of operations. Just weeks into the deployment, the crew intercepted 580 kilograms of cocaine and 2,480 pounds of marijuana through combined air surface operations. "We train diligently and stand ready to execute interdiction missions at moment's notice," Commander Stephen Frissey, commanding officer of the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, said in a release. "To be able to make an immediate impact so early on our maiden voyage is a testament to the hard work and skills of the ship's crew. As an LCS, the vessel, which deployed in support of U.S. Naval Forces Southern Command, is designed for speed and operating in near-shore environments. The ship is currently assigned to Commander Task Force 45, the Surface Task Force of 4th Fleet, responsible for carrying out combined operations, strengthening partnerships with Latin America and Caribbean nations, and supporting law enforcement and counter-drug trafficking operation. The Minneapolis-St. Paul's crew includes an embarked Coast Guard law enforcement detachment, plus the Valkyries of Helicopter Maritime Strike Squadron 50, Detachment 3. The U.S. Navy regularly partners with LDET teams to prevent illegal drugs from reaching the United States through maritime routes. Drug interdictions in the Caribbean are executed by the Coast Guard under the authority of the 7th Coast Guard District based in Miami. USS Minneapolis-St. Paul executed their duties seamlessly in the combined effort to protect the homeland from illicit maritime trafficking, Rear Admiral Carlos Sardiello, commander of the U.S. Naval Forces Southern Command, U.S. 4th Fleet, said in the release. "Working in coordination with the Coast Guard and our joint partners, we look forward to seeing continued measurable impact delivered by the professional and talented crew of the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul across the region." In our next article, officials launch task force to root out anti-Christian bias in VA. April 23, 2025. Veterans Affairs leaders launched a department-wide investigation into allegations of anti-Christian bias on Monday, asking employees to report fellow staffers for any informal policies, procedures, or unofficial understandings hostile to Christian views. The move, which follows a government-wide mandate for investigations into discriminatory practices against Christian beliefs, drew immediate condemnation from Democratic lawmakers for showing favoritism towards a single religion. "While religious discrimination must be forbidden and fought, this internal VA memo lacks any factual basis or rationale," said Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat in Connecticut, ranking member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. "It raises the specter of dividing the veteran community and favoring some religions over others." In a department-wide memo distributed Monday, VA Secretary Doug Collins said that a new department task force will review all instances of anti-Christian bias throughout VA operations that includes adverse responses to requests for religious exemption and any observations of mistreatment for not participating in events or activities inconsistent with Christian views. In the past, some employees have claimed discrimination for being required to provide treatment of LGBTQ+ individuals or birth control medication to patients, claiming religious objections. Advocates have countered that veterans should not have their medical options curtailed because of individuals' personal belief. Collins' memo also asks employees to report any mistreatment or reprimand issues in response to displays of Christian imagery or symbols. In February, Collins ordered that displays of flags not in keeping with VA messaging, including LGBTQ+ pride flags and other advocacy banners, be removed from the department workspaces and common areas. It is not clear if flags with Christian imagery will now be exempted from that policy. In addition to his VA leadership role, Collins serves as Air Force Reserve chaplain and is a practicing Southern Baptist. President Donald Trump in February ordered VA and 15 other agencies to establish the Anti-Christian Bias Task Force to end the anti-Christian weaponization of government. He claimed that past administrations supported for abortion rights and diversity efforts amounted to an attack on Christian beliefs. Democratic lawmakers have disputed that Blumenthal said that the new task force undermines efforts to ensure all veterans receive care and respect. The First Amendment ensures that all religions and faith are treated equally, with full freedom of worship, he said. Officials from the advocacy groups Americans United for Separation of Church and State have called Trump's anti-Christian task force a Christian nationalist crusade and accused the administration of using religious freedom misinformation to justify bigotry and discrimination. And in our next article, thousands of military families use childcare app devised by airmen, dated Monday, April 21st, 2025. A new app is helping to fill a gap in short-term childcare needs for some military families. Kinderspot allows parents to sublet their childcare spaces at Air Force Child Development Centers when they're away for vacation or other reasons, connecting them to eligible Department of Defense families who need childcare. The app, which was the brainchild of Air Force Major Jackie Vasta, was launched Air Force-wide in July, following testing at a number of bases. To date, 12,361 military families are using the platform, and 12,558 child care spot rentals have been facilitated, according to the Air Force officials. Nearly 22,500 weeks of child care availability have been offered. Generally, parents are required to pay for the weeks their children are away from military child care, such as when the family is on leave or when the service member is away on temporary duty. The app allows them to save those funds, which parents successfully sublet a child's vacant spot, they received a credit to their account. For example, a family planning to take vacation this summer might be able to offer their spot on the app, and it could be picked up by another military family who needs short-term care, child care, as they make permanent change of station move to or from the installation. Kinderspot has been a major win when it comes to supporting our family members and their families with child care in the Air Force, said Lieutenant Colonel Tyler Hugh, Branch Chief of the Air Force Business Enterprise Systems Product Innovation, or BESPIN, in the announcement. The rental fees are paid directly to the center at the renter's rate. The rate is based on the family income of the renters, not the total family income of the family who has a permanent child care space. The child subletting the spot must be in the same age group as the child with the permanent spot. Families without a child currently enrolled at the Child Development Center must complete paperwork to become a verified renter at their center before booking available weeks through the app. The Kinderspot is available for download on Apple and Android devices. The Air Force Child Care Centers validate all users of the app to make sure they are eligible to either offer a spot or rent a spot. None of the other service branches are currently considering adopting the app, officials told Military Times. Navies allow families with children enrolled full-time in child care to take 10 vacation days each year per child without having to pay for those days, says Density Siebert, a spokeswoman for Commander Navy Installations Command. Their child care center may use that open space to accommodate hourly care during its child's absence. In addition, the Navy Child and Youth Program will hold a space for a military member who is temporarily detail to another location at no cost if the child care isn't needed during that time, she said. The Defense Department and services branches have been taking various steps in implementing programs to alleviate the shortage of child care for military parents. In our next article, Senate leaders set May 7th hearing to review VA budget reform plans, dated Monday, April 21st, 2025. Senate lawmakers will get their long-awaited chance to grill Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins over his department reform plans early next month. Leaders of the Chamber's Veterans Policy Panel announced Monday. In a statement, Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Jerry Moran said that Collins will testify before a committee to lay out the department's plans for improving the VA over the next 4 years and providing quality and timely care and benefits to our nation's heroes and their families. This will be an opportunity for members of the community to ask questions about recent and planned changes underway at VA and for a committee to receive an overview of the secretary's goals and priorities 3 months after his bipartisan confirmation, he added. Since that bipartisan confirmation vote in February, several Democratic senators have publicly disavowed their support for Collins and demanded he return to Capitol Hill to answer for rumored and promised changes at VA. Those plans include tens of thousands of potential job cuts in coming months, as well as significant restructuring support contracts across the department. In addition, Collins' announcement that VA will end nearly all support services for transgender veterans and eliminate diversity and inclusion programs across the workforce have drawn anger and ire from Democrats. For his part, Collins has struck back on social media, accusing critics of fear-mongering and maintaining the status quo in the face of mounting problems with the VA bureaucracy. Traditionally, the VA secretary makes appearances before each chamber's appropriation and oversight committees each spring as lawmakers negotiate the annual federal spending plan. Collins was scheduled to appear before the House Appropriations Committee earlier this month, but lawmakers postponed that event because of other legislative work. And in case you're now just joining us, you're listening to Military Times. And in our next article, Pentagon Congress, White House defends Hegseth amid new signal accusation staff overhaul, dated April 21st, 2025. White House officials defended Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth amid another round of controversies over the weekend, blaming the media and Pentagon establishment for resisting needed reforms throughout the military. During an interview on Fox News on Monday morning, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said President Donald Trump stands strongly behind Secretary Hegseth and insisted senior leaders believe the embattled cabinet official is doing a tremendous job so far. Secretary Hegseth was nominated for his position because he is standing up for the men and women in uniform who are putting their lives on the line to protect our country and our homeland, Leavitt said. Unfortunately, there have been people at the Pentagon who don't like the chains, so they're leaking and they're lying to the mainstream media. The New York Times reported Sunday that Hegseth used another signal chat to share details of a military airstrike in Yemen, this time with his wife, brother, and other individuals without security clearances. White House officials denied the reporting confirmed by multiple other outlets. The story followed a series of high-level firings last week in which senior members of Hegseth's core team were removed or reassigned, purportedly for leaking information, though they denied the accusation in a joint statement. In addition, Pentagon Chief of Staff Joe Casper is also leaving his post for another job in the Defense Department. At this time, we still have not been told what exactly we are investigated for, if there is still an active investigation, or if there was even a real investigation of leaks to begin with, the three fired officials wrote in their statement Saturday. On Sunday, former Chief Pentagon spokesman John Oehlich authored an editorial in Politico, which described Hegseth's operation as a full-blown meltdown that is distracting from Trump's other goals and accomplishments. The Pentagon focus is no longer warfighting, but on endless drama, he wrote. Hegseth lashed out at criticism on camera during the White House annual Easter egg roll Monday. This is what the media does, he says. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people, ruin their reputation. It's not going to work with me. We're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back into the hands of warfighters, anonymous smears from disgruntled former employees on old news doesn't matter. The secretary did not address the criticisms that appeared on the record why he's fired so many members of his own team and whether he included his families in a sensitive group chat. Hegseth made headlines last month for sharing advanced military details of the Yemen strikes on a signal messaging group, which included National Security Advisor Michael Waltz, Vice President J.D. Vance, and an editor of The Atlantic, the latter of whom was apparently added to the chat by accident. Trump also defended his defense secretary at the time, calling his work at the Pentagon exemplary and needed. Democratic lawmakers called the last round of scandals unsettling and disqualifying. How many times does Pete Hegseth need to leak classified intelligence before Donald Trump and Republicans understand that he isn't only effing liar, he is a threat to our national security, said Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat in Illinois, in a statement. Every day he stays in his job is another day our troops' lives are endangered by his singular stupidity. In our next article, Marines deploy drone-killing MADIS system for Balikpapan drills, dated April 22, 2025. U.S. Marines will test one of the service's newest counter-drone defense systems during this year's Balikpapan military exercise in collaboration with the Philippine military, according to the Marine Corps. Marines with the 3rd Littoral Anti-Air Battalion's Ground-Based Air Defense Battery will conduct live fire training with the Ground-Based Marine Air Defense Integrated System, or MADIS, a short-range surface-to-air system that specializes in detection and destruction of unmanned aircraft systems, at an annual joint drills currently underway in the Philippines. The exercise will mark MADIS' second live fire training following training in January at the Palakula Training Area on the Big Island of Hawaii, and the first time the system has been deployed outside the United States with a U.S. Marine Corps unit. The MADIS is a unique weapon system that enhances both the survivability and the lethality of the 3rd Marine Littoral Regiment by extending the reach of the airspace over which the formation has control, and by giving tactical flexibility to the friendly elements operating within our area of operations, said Colonel John G. Lehane, commanding officer of the 3rd Marine Littoral Regiment, in a release. During an integrated air and missile defense event, U.S. Marines will perform a demonstration of the MADIS alongside Philippine Marines and soldiers, who will also utilize their own counter-drone systems. With MADIS, Marines don't have to exit their vehicle to manually target and take out an unmanned aerial vehicle. The system mounted to a tactical vehicle comes equipped with radar and weapons capable of identifying aerial threats and neutralizing them out of the sky with jammers, Stinger missiles, and a 30mm cannon. MADIS will replace a previous air defense system called the Man-Portable Air Defense System, or MANPADS, which allows a fire unit vehicle, section leader vehicle, and a Stinger shoulder fire missile as its primary weapon system, according to the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps, which requested $130 million for 13 MADIS Increment 1 systems in its fiscal 2024 budget request, will seek to fill 190 MADIS systems throughout 2035 to the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd low-altitude air defense battalions and the 3rd, 4th, and 12th Marine Littoral Regiments. This year's Balikatan running through May 9th on the Philippine islands of Luzon and Palawan marks 40 years of joint drills aimed at fortifying the Indo-Pacific. U.S. and Philippine troops will conduct coordinated military operations across land, sea, air, space, and cyber domains for the exercise. The 1st Marine Expeditionary Force Command Element, 1st Marine Division, 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing, 1st Marine Logistics Groups, 3rd Marine Littoral Regiment, and 1st Marine Aircraft Wing will participate in the event. The MADIS continues to exceed expectations, and the more repetitions we get to integrate it with the Philippine Marine Corps in training, and the more it will enhance our collective lethality, said Lieutenant Colonel Matthew E. Slida, commanding officer of the 3rd Littoral Anti-Air Battalion. Well, I'm afraid this is all the time we have for now. I'd like to thank you for joining us for the Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and I hope that you'll join us next time.